This is The Toolbox. I'm your favourite folk devil, Rowley Joe Carney, and I'm joined, as always, by Hamish Smith. What have we got on the show this week, Hamish?
We'll kick things off with our invisible backpack check-in, and then we'll be having a chat about Channel 4's Virgin Island.
Should we get into it?
Let's get into it. Saddle up your horses, cowboy. For the only men's issue show in all of radio. The Toolbox. Yeehaw!
That's right, it's Toolbox time here on Spark. I'm your favourite folk devil, Rowley Joe Carney, and I'm joined, as always, by my sweet cheese, Hamish Smith.
How you doing? I hope you're having a fantastic Sunday. I know that I am. Rowley, how are you doing?
I'm good. I feel like it's been a long week and I haven't done a great deal.
Yeah, has it just been one of them days, one of them weeks?
Just passing the time, brother.
Counting down the days.
Yeah, something like that.
So shall we have a quick discussion about what's coming up on the show before we actually get into it?
Yeah, so we are going to be talking about Channel 4's Virgin Island because me and you have become fans of the show, let's be honest.
We're getting in the middle of watching it.
Yeah, and I guess it's just our observations so far and just expanding out on a couple of little points here and there.
No, that's true. I think the show, it's been, you know, it's been out for quite a while, and I think all the episodes are fully out, aren't they?
Yeah, I think I'm one episode ahead of you.
Yeah, so
it's not really like a spoilers thing. If you want to watch it, then it's on for Channel 4, 4OD, whatever it's called.
It's kind of, I feel like it's kind of hard to spoil a show like this.
Yeah, I think as a, I mean, we won't waste it all now, but as a social experiment, I find it completely fascinating.
we'll share all our thoughts on Virgin Island later on, but for now I think it's time for our invisible backpack check-in. So before we get into it, what is the invisible backpack?
The invisible backpack is the shorthand that me and Hamish use in order to check in with each other. Everyone's got an invisible backpack and it's filled with everything that occupies your mind and fills your life. So that could be relationships, it could be mental health, physical health, money, stress, body image, anxiety, all manner of things. It's good things as well. It could be, you know, like getting a promotion at work or just having like a really nice chill day with your family or whatever. Like, some people's backpacks are really heavy and some people's are really light. So me and Hamish sort of do it to try and approach people with a bit more sort of compassion and empathy. And you know, you never know how heavy someone's backpack is. So
very true.
Hamish, how's your backpack?
Yeah, you know what? I feel like I always start by saying, yeah, you know what? I bet we could do a compilation of me going, yeah, you know what?
I think
kicking
so.
Kicking off the invisible backpack check-ins. But yeah, you know what? It's been a strange week. I feel like I'm in a very weird time in my life right now. It's like a short period, but it's weird. You know, obviously, like, I think Kat's kind of out the bag a wee bit. We're going to be moving on from Sunderland very soon.
Yeah, we've got just under 2 months left, haven't we?
Yeah, so we're just kind of like, you know, it's kind of that, like getting, you know, planned for what's coming. So I think like that's kind of been on my mind a lot this week. With that, I've kind of been, you know, thinking a lot about my time here in Sunderland. Like, this is what I've been used to the last kind of, 3 years I've been down here? Excuse me. Coming up on, 3 years I've been down here. So it's like, it's trying to, just deal with the feelings, I suppose, that are coming with that and what to expect in the next few weeks as my time here in Sunderland comes to a close. But apart from that, I handed in my notice at work, so they know that I'm leaving. You gasped.
I just never thought I'd see the day when you'd leave Sporty D.
I know. It's strange. It does feel very, very, very strange. But anyway, the time was coming.
Are you more upset about leaving or are you more upset about losing your staff discount?
It's a bit of both, to be fair. Like, I literally took on a second job just so I could keep that staff discount.
You have, I'm not going to lie, you have saved me so much money on shoes.
Yeah. Like, it's good. It is good. And if you know me, you'll know that I love dishing it out. So, to kind of circle it back to the backpack, like, it's tough because I wouldn't say it's full, but I wouldn't say it's empty. Like, I've got, you know, plenty to worry about, but it's just kind of sitting in there. Like, I'm not, like, it's not heavy. My shoulders aren't sore.
In terms of the stuff that you worry about,
mm-hmm.
is it just because it's the uncertainty of going back to Scotland and...
Well, there's
like,
that.
What about what's coming next, or is it just about...
Oh, yeah, pretty much. Like, it's kind of like I'm starting my life now. Like, the way I kind of see it, come, you know, August, that's kind of it. So, like, myself personally, like, I'm going to, as much as I kind of hate to say it, I think, like, I'll be having a bit of a break from, like, radio just to kind of, you know... rediscover what, you know, like my love for it, I suppose, because it's, you know, Scotland is, you know, where I got into radio. So I think, you know, I'm going to get back to some of the stations that I started off with and just kind of like do radio how I did radio in the past. And that was, you know, as a hobby for fun. While now I think, the experience of it, maybe there's numerous reasons for why I feel the way I do about radio at the moment, but like I think with a little, you know, break from it, completely take myself out of it, I'll refine my love for it again after the break.
Sometimes sort of it's like revisiting old haunts but with new ideas.
Yeah.
And I think like because we've been working so much and because we do this show every week, mm-hmm. and we like, all right, like every 12 weeks or so, we'll take a break.
Yeah.
But well, like, even then, since September
mm-hmm.
2023, I haven't had a week where I haven't done radio.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, is that like, obviously my schedule's a bit pattern now. Like, I'm not doing as much. It is literally just... me, you, and the toolbox. Certainly, I know obviously yourself, you're doing more. But for me, it is literally just the toolbox now. And like before that, I had been doing radio nonstop since I was 16. Like literally from hospital radio to college radio to coming down here and then being at Spark. And then, yeah, and then I got involved a bit with getting the bunker radio off the ground. But it was, yeah, it's just...
It can sometimes sound like you're complaining, but like
I am complaining.
No, but this is the way I put it though. Like you've been doing that on top of everything else. You've been doing that on top of an undergraduate degree and then a master's.
Like on like
you've been doing that on top of like jobs, on top of relationships, on top of everything.
Like on top of all of that, like I I've been studying this as well. So like that's literally it. But I think like this is what I'm saying when I say my backpack's full. It's like, if we had like a long-term backpack, if you know what I meant. Like,
yeah.
Kind of like a backpack of the year, if that makes sense. Like, summarize the year, if that makes sense.
I mean, I think like when we know when our last show's going to be, that could be something we could do.
Yeah, just like look back and go.
Yeah.
A long-term back. But yeah, you know what? Like, we'll get planning it out. But yeah, backpack... I'm good. It's not that full. Rolly, I'll throw the ball over to you.
I've had a really good week. Nice. Got some news on Monday that was really good, which I'm not going to reveal on air today.
Oh.
But in a few weeks' time, we are going to be having another toolbox special.
Yeah.
Unpacking a certain topic, which will be one which I am absolutely highlighting that for our SRI award nominee entry this year. But yeah, I was very, very happy on Monday. And then just all week I've sort of been riding the high of that.
Yeah.
My girlfriend went on the holiday on Wednesday for a couple of weeks, which is one of those where, like, I think some people would be like, yeah, I can do what I want, but then I'm like, I do miss her. So it's just like...
So then you've started another Harry Potter playthrough, so it's...
Yeah, but my third one. I've already completed it twice. I'm a 33-year-old man. No, it's just one of those. It's just like, I think part of it is like, again, sort of echoing what you said.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I know what radio I'm going back to in Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's whether or not I'm going to have the same creative freedom I have here.
Yeah.
Like, I think initially I wouldn't do any show like this one.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, I think that me and you need at least like 6 months off from doing a show that's as emotionally investing as this.
Yeah.
Because this is why we need to take like a break for like a week or two every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does sort of sit on you, because I think sometimes, like, obviously we're sat in the studio, we don't know if people listen every week or whether people just hit it and whatever, but we've always said that if we just reach one person, help one person, and they're able to take something away and either feel better or take away, you know, the signpost and numbers at the end and get help they need, then we can do that. And I think it's, in a way, nice that we don't know whether or not we have.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, for me, I hate, like, those things on social media, which is, like, you know, when you see people who, like, film themselves giving things to, like, the homeless.
Yeah.
And it's like, do the right thing to do the right thing. Don't do it for clout.
Yeah.
And, like, we've never done this for clout. We've done this because me and you both struggled in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no space in radio where people were talking about this.
Yeah.
And no, I think hopefully, you know, if some, you know, even if there's people like who do radio who are listening and go, oh, I could do this well better than them, then do it.
Yeah, no, definitely.
You know, like, we're not trying to hold down this. It's just like,
I mean, people, thing. Like, I'd say people kind of in a way have. I think, and again, I don't want to sit here and toot a horn, but certainly here anyway, I think we kind of changed how these kind of shows are approached. Obviously, we battled tooth and nail to get this show on air. And because of that, shows like this are now popping up, no problem. Like, on Sparks programming.
Yeah.
Like, if you think back to kind of start of last year time, when we were doing the show and we had our collabs with like Morning Moxie and stuff, we struggled so much to get ideas through, and now it's just so easy to get a show like this.
I mean, but we aren't the trust though. Like, we've never had a show where we've ever had sort of management here going, they shouldn't be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I think like this week is one where if we'd have done this show a year ago and this show had been out a year ago, then I think they'd be a lot more nervous. But like, you know, we're not coming here to take, you know, today to take the mick out of people who've gone on a reality TV show.
Yeah.
You know, to get back anyway to the point.
Yeah. Invisible backpacks.
Invisible backpack. I'm going to go back to making documentaries.
Nice.
I've got two in the pipeline. I've got one that I've wanted to make for ages.
Mm-hmm.
And I can actually interview someone who the subject of the documentary is long dead. They've been dead for like 50 years.
Yeah.
60 years maybe, but I know someone who like has first hand like experience of them.
Yeah.
I discovered that last week, so I think I'm going to pull the cord and do that one.
Yeah, nice one.
Yeah. And then it's just the same. But I'm looking forward to moving back, like, for for me, it's, you know, I've missed my family, I've missed my friends, I've missed, you know, like all that side of it. And it's not to sort of knock any of the great mates I've made here. Yeah, I've made some best friends for life here.
Yeah.
But it's just time.
No, literally. I don't blame you. I think it's literally this, to simply put it, the same for me. I could probably have pushed another year out of this place, really squeezed the bottle, but nah.
I think for the radio I need to do, I can't be here anymore.
Yeah.
It's the type of radio I want to do. I couldn't commit to doing that every week for an entire schedule.
No, you're right.
Like, you know, and it's great here. If I make a one-off, they'll play a one-off. Like, but if that's all I want to do, then it's like a bigger conversation.
Yeah.
Because of the scheduling and stuff. Whereas, like, back home, it's just sort of like a, oh, hey, did you swear? No. Then it can go on the air.
Like, no, that's true.
Yeah, it's more of a, what you imagine, community radio to sort of be run like.
Yeah.
You know, it's slightly less professional.
It's like a bit more cowboy.
Yeah,
I mean,
you play all the PRS and stuff, but it's. I think I'd be bringing radio to it. Like,
yeah.
But anyway, shall we play some tunes and then come back?
Yes, let's do that.
That was Marvin Gaye with Sexual Healing here on Spark. You're listening to The Toolbox. I'm your favourite folk devil, Rolly Joe Carney. And of course, with me as always, Hamish, my little rotten soldier, Smith.
Oh yeah, I'm still here. Don't worry. Here to talk about, well, we've just done our Invisible Backpack check-ins. And I'm now here to talk about a new hit reality show, which has been gracing our screens. Rolly.
We're going to talk about Virgin Island.
Yes, we are. So, shall we probably say, I mean, you'd have to be living under a rock to not know what Virgin Island is.
If you can't tell from the name, it's a very self-explanatory one, but there's, what, like eight of them?
Six. Oh, wait, six. What? Eight what?
No, there's like eight.
Contestants.
I wouldn't call them contestants. Episodes. Like, there's eight participants.
There we go. We've got the list right here. You want to do a quick count?
Yeah. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, siete, ocho, nueve. There's 13 of them.
13 of them, yeah. I feel like at the point we're in, at the point of the, because this is the thing, let's clear this now, we've not finished the show.
No, and like every episode, they'll focus on like one or two people.
Yeah, like they'll
so
proper.
So we haven't really met everyone properly yet.
Yeah.
But
we know some better than others.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I mean, first of all, I think we have to talk about how brave they all are for going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I think they kind of cover this in the first episode, but when you first think of the word virgin, it's, you know, often has quite negative, you know, connotations behind it.
Well,
they kind of say it themselves. I believe it was Ben who said that, you know, getting called a virgin and then somebody going like, oh, but you actually are, like, he says, like, you know what, like, it's true, but it's still insulting.
Yeah, and I think it's because after a certain point, I think societally,
yeah,
it's imbued with this sense of shame, which is really unfair. So Virgin Island, there's 13 virgins on an island, and they're working with psychologists, sex therapists, sex surrogate partners as well.
It really is something that shouldn't be a reality TV show.
On the one hand, like, I can see where you're coming from, but on the other, like, I don't agree with people on, like, online and in some articles I've read about the show, who make out as if it's exploitative.
Yeah,
it isn't. Like, they've known what they've signed up for.
No,
they may not
true.
Know the absolute ins and outs, but I'd say it's like in the same way that people are wrong when they call undateables exploitative.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I think that there's I think there's a I think they treat everyone with like a lot of respect and a lot of dignity, and it's something that really, like, realistically, I think, based off the fact that they say in the show that is that it's 1 in 8 26-year-olds are still virgins,
something like that, yeah,
which is like 12.5% of the population,
yeah,
well, of that age demographic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they all go up to the age of 30. One of the contestants, Ben's 30.
I think Ben is the oldest one on the show,
yeah,
at being 30. But you know, there's quite a range of people. I think the youngest is early 20s, isn't it? I don't think it goes below that. But like, I feel like I'm watching it, and you're right. Like, it's not, you know, they're not exploiting anyone. They're not, you know, they know what they've gotten into by signing up and doing this. And obviously, I think this was filmed maybe a year ago now.
Yeah.
So, I think if any of them had any issues, they would have. Probably have
it would have come to light by now.
And the show probably wouldn't have aired. But I watch it, and I think I am a bit baffled, and I'm like, is this really like? I suppose this is what they call reality TV, isn't it?
But I think though, like, realistically, everyone has some sort of skin in the game with the show.
Yeah,
because people either have lost their virginity or they haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone who has lost it, I think a lot of people can sympathize with that idea of, you know, finding intimacy and your first time. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's exciting, but it's also like scary as well.
It's a big point in your life, isn't it?
It's like, you know, almost like becoming like a fully fledged adult, isn't it? One of those experiences that's meant to be this really sort of life affirming and really sort of like poignant, almost sort of moment.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know,
in someone's life.
Like, yeah, no, you're right. And it is like, I think it's something that you'll always remember. You know, I remember my first time.
Yeah, terrifying, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it was.
And it's, you know, there's obviously at the time, there's all the male hubris of, you know, how great your performance was in that 30 seconds. But but it's, you know, it's the same for everyone as well. Like, it's, and I think you'd be really, really unfeeling not to be moved by how emotional they get around issues around, particularly around intimacy.
Yeah.
And trust. Like,
well, I think that's what kind of what a lot of them, you know, kind of struggle with, or areas of that, like, you know, having a look at Viraj here, like, it in his kind of like bio, he said that he struggles with the conversation that leads up to an intimate moment.
And and it's all different. It's almost like different facets and levels of barriers in the way for some people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think though, like, it's the same as like if you meet someone who you like and you get a little bit tongue twisted and you get a little bit
flustered
and stuck for words. Like, everyone's been there.
Yeah.
And I think that there comes a point where you're just like, where for most people, where in yourself you go, oh, sod it, and you move past it, or maybe they pick up on the hint and they make the first move.
Yeah.
And for some people that just doesn't happen.
No.
And I think, because especially as a man, you're meant to be, you know, assertive, and you get all these mixed messages of,
mm-hmm.
oh yeah, I'm meant to be, you know, putting my best foot forward and being assertive and all these different things about, you know, like, that come from that sort of
the societal pressures.
Societal pressures of what, you know, a man is meant to be.
Yeah.
Then, you know, you can feel like a failure if you're not able to do that. And it is eye-opening. Like,
no, it is. And I think it's, you know, with watching this show, it's, you know, just like, I suppose this is the thing with every single reality TV show, that like, you're seeing into someone else's life. You're getting to know someone else.
I will say though, like, similarly to Undateables, I just want to be all, like, all their friend. Like,
yeah.
Like, they all genuinely seem dead sound.
Well, again, just like every other reality TV show. Like you fall in love with the people. Like this is it. We're looking at this as, you know, we're trying to, you know, analyze this. We're trying to have a look at Virgin Island and just have a discussion about it and discuss the kind of issues that we also cover on this show. But we've also spoken about this like it's a reality TV show.
Yeah.
You know, when let's all be real, when the mics are down, we're sat there like, oh, what did you think of, you know, Tom when he said this, or what do you think of Taylor when she said this, like, or did this, like, you know, it's all just like every other reality TV show. We've fallen in love with the characters,
and it's really cool that, like, you're seeing them sort of discovering large aspects of themselves. So, like, you know, Taylor, like particularly Taylor with her sexuality, mm-hmm. and Tom with his gender.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, really cool to be like, yeah, man,
mm-hmm.
you know, good for you. Like, you know, it's scary and new, but it also must be exciting to sort of realize that about yourself. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm cishet normative, like whatever that means, but
yeah.
You know, I've not had to contend with those like deeper inner struggles about,
yeah,
oh, I do not fit into this society and stuff. Like, but can we talk about the big talking point that seemed to have gone viral about mm-hmm. the show?
Yeah.
So, largely from a Metro article, but also one or two other online publications.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Zach, one of the participants
in
the show, and one of his therapists, who he works with, Kate. And it was about how he was communicating and he made her feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And a large part of not just Zach, but a lot of the participants on the show struggle with sort of very basic, very sort of, you know, like communication issues,
mm-hmm.
especially like around things like sex, where you can't, like, you need to sort of be very clear about what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it was some of the things he was saying to, like, one of the therapists about, like, how he wanted to have sex with her and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you know what? Like, I understand why some of the comments were saying, like, oh, it came across really creepy and, you know, we felt aggressive and she didn't feel safe. But, like, she also felt comfortable enough to go, probably because there were cameras there and the film crew and everything,
mm-hmm.
to be like, okay, we're going to put our clothes back on now.
Yeah.
But with that and with some of his issues around that, watching it, like, not just the clip, but in the context of the entire episode of the show,
mm-hmm.
I also think the editing did him really dirty.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you go back and you watch the episode and the part we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
like, you hear in the editing, like, the incidental music underneath, it's, like, sort of really heavy tone piano. And that, and, like, you could put that under, like, a normal conversation in a couple of them telling each other how much they love each other, and it would come across as, like, really creepy.
Yeah.
So it's easy to take a thing in isolation and go, yeah. And obviously, like, his communication is something he needs to work on.
Yeah.
But this is also why he's on Virgin Island.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the whole point is to go in there having these therapy sessions and developing as people where they can have, you know, healthy sexual relationships.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. And, like, I'm sure that clip that you're talking about is in the first episode. I think it's very early on.
Maybe. I think it's around 3 or 4, and I'm only saying that because they go through some of the earlier stuff where it's the basic stuff, and then that's in the more advanced therapy because they're both, like, naked when they're doing it.
Oh, okay. No, I've not.
Yeah, yeah.
I've not. I'm still yet to see that part yet, because I've seen the first bit where, like, they first meet for the first time.
Yeah.
And he openly says, like, oh, you know, I'd be quite open to having sex.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm still, like, as we've said, we're still yet to finish it. I think each episode's, what, about 40 minutes long? 50 minutes long?
Yeah, about 40.
Something like that.
But I think, though, as well, like, all of them, like, I think they're all coming on leaps and bounds, and, like, it's nice to see them all getting more confident in themselves as they go along. But yeah, I actually think that, like, the work the sort of intimacy coaches and the experts do to make that happen in such a short amount of time.
Yeah. Shall we kind of turn our attention to these intimacy coaches a wee bit?
Yeah, because they've got, I mean, they all have quite impressive backgrounds in that field. Like,
yeah, so, you know, it's funny because I think before the show, I hadn't even realised some of these roles and what they were, you know.
I think if someone was to tell you, like, that they did this as a job, I genuinely think 99% of people would go, that's just new age hippie nonsense. and I don't feel bad for saying that, but I do feel bad for saying it in light of what we've seen them do on the show with people who clearly need the help.
True. I do have to say, like, an emotional intimacy coach is quite a crazy, like, name, if that makes sense, for a job.
It's almost like they made therapist a dirty word, isn't it? Like,
yeah. Same with what else? You've also got
the safe word
surrogate therapy. Partner therapist.
Yeah, the safe word's therapy.
Yeah. I'm gonna actually just Google. I think
it would help if you could spell.
I was gonna say you're making the dyslexic do this.
I don't have the keyboard on my side, brother.
Yeah, so a surrogate partner therapist or a sex surrogate is a trained professional who uses hands-on therapeutic guidance to help individuals overcome intimacy issues. But
then I understand it though, because if someone has like a massive hang-up in a mental block just over like somebody touching them.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose... Like just in general, I'm not even talking about like in a way, like, obviously everyone needs clear boundaries.
Yeah.
But if it's in the sense of just like someone rubbing the hand up and down your like forearm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I know in myself, like, sometimes I react a bit weird if someone touches my neck.
Yeah.
Well, that's just because I just really don't like it.
Well, I think there's a difference between having not liking something and not being comfortable with being touched in an area, and then having like a deep seated fear.
Drama,
Of being touched.
It's right. My another question I have, you know, for these job titles is, what do they put down for their insurance? like you know, if they're like getting car insurance.
Yeah, and you need to select a job.
Sexological body worker, I'm gonna guess, is not on the list.
Yeah.
Would that be under like holistic therapy?
I'm guessing it would just be under, I'm guessing when you apply for it, like, it would just be like therapist.
The main sort of sex and relationship coach is an American lady called Dr. Danielle.
Yeah, she's kind of the head of the...
Yeah, and she's got a PhD in human sexuality.
Ooh.
So, I mean, if anyone's going to be able to help people, it's going to be Dr. Danny, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's one of those where, like, it's... I know we'll talk about it more probably in the coming weeks once we've finished the show.
Yeah.
But
this time next week, like, hopefully, we'll be through.
Yeah, we can just do a quick tie up.
Yeah.
But I think, like, in sort of the light of the show, I think, though, again, it's another area that people don't talk about a lot, about intimacy and connection and all those types of things. And part of that is because, like, especially in this country, have this very British attitude of, oh, well, what happens in someone's bedroom happens in someone's bedroom. But also, it's just one of them, really, isn't it? It's just, should we have some Motley Crue and then come back?
Yes, and we'll tie up our discussion of Virgin Island.
Love Gun by Kiss here on Spark. I'm your favourite folk devil, Rolly Joe Carney. And with me, still to the bitter end, it's Hamish Smith.
How's it going, Rolly?
So, Hamish, let's just quickly wrap up our thoughts on Virgin Island.
Yes.
What do you think?
Obviously, we've not finished it yet. So I can't give my full kind of, like, here's the lowdown. But I'm enjoying it as is. It's probably... it's not a strange show, but the dynamic of it's quite strange. I've never quite seen anything like it. It's very out of the ordinary, but I'm enjoying it so much, just like any other reality show.
I think the element where people are clearly in discomfort over something so personal is fascinating.
Yeah.
And I actually just genuinely want the best for them all. No, we haven't finished it yet.
Yeah.
But Hamish, it's that time.
Oh no, the curtain closers.
Yeah. Just because the conversation stops doesn't mean the conversation stops. If you feel like you urgently need to speak to somebody, the number for Samaritans is 116 123. That's 116 123.
Happy days. And there's now two Andy's Man Clubs here in Sunderland. We've got one on Kale Road and one at the Beacon of Light every Monday from 7 p.m, excluding bank holidays.
That's right. I've been a user of that service myself. For me, I really thrive on peer-to-peer support.
Yeah, I think a lot of men do, and the numbers have been rocketing up recently.
Yeah, I think I'll be popping into a session tomorrow.
Nice.
And here at Spark, peer-to-peer support's not really your bag, but you still feel like you might need to speak to someone. We have our very own phone-in show, call-in show, The Bedtime Babylon, hosted by Kai and Hayden. They're a really good set of lads. They've been doing it for years, and they're a good laugh. And you don't even need to speak to them about anything serious, do you, Hamish?
Nope. You know fine well. You're a serial caller.
I am. And if you are not sick of my voice and you want to hear me some more, I am doing Tuesday home time from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. here on Spark. Hamish, it's that time. We'll see you next week at 10 p.m.
Hope you have a good one.
I'm a man, and it's okay to feel overwhelmed.
I'm a man, and it's okay to cry.
I'm a man, and it's okay to ask for help.
I'm a man, and I don't need to be perfect.
This has been The Toolbox.
Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next week at 10 p.m.